Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our associate pastor, Paul Castell.
Amen. Let's pray. I love the prayer in Colossians chapter 1. You don't have to turn there, but I believe God feels real good about us giving his word back to him. Amen. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for this precious, sweet day together, Lord, in your presence. Hallelujah. And Father, the Apostle Paul wrote so beautifully, since hearing of your great goodness, said, we've not ceased to pray for you, and this is what I pray for us this morning, Lord, that we may be filled with the knowledge of your will, Father, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that we'll walk in a manner worthy of you, Lord, to please you in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of you, Lord. Strengthened with all power according to your glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to you, Father, who have qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And we want to talk about this inheritance this morning some. And I'm going to start in the first chapter of Genesis, and we'll wind up somewhere over near the end, all right? Does that sound okay? I don't think it's too enthusiastic here to try to cover some ground this morning. I wrote my scriptures in the text, and so I'll be reading mostly out of it. My notes. Pastor Roy asked me to, now can you beat this? He actually asked me to type everything out and present it to Brother Zacharias and give it to him in time so he'd know and be able to go over what I'm going to say. And I haven't preached from notes like this extensive in years. So, if I appear to be reading too much, it's because I am. Okay. But we're going to cover a lot of scriptures, the Lord helping us, and prayerfully we'll get it. In Genesis 1:28, you don't have to turn. I'm going to cover a lot of scriptures, and you don't need to try and follow on in the Bible. We'll skip around some. And it says, in the beginning, God created man in his own image. You, of course, familiar with the story. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Somebody said, that's the only command of God that we've ever fulfilled. we've done that. And multiply and replenish the earth. Boy, has it been replenished. Amen. Subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, and over everything that moves upon the earth. And so what does dominion mean anyway? If we have dominion, what does that mean? We're in control, right, of everything. Dominion means rulership, control, total authority. But, of course, they disobeyed God. Eve, shame on you, Eve. I heard a guy say when he gets to heaven, the first thing he's going to do is walk up to Adam and kick him right in the shins. Sounds good to me. They disobeyed God when the enemy came in and, of course, lied to Eve. And then she lied to Adam with his help, I'm sure. And they lost this place of rulership, of dominion in the earth. They lost the title deed of the planet. God gave them the title deed of earth. God put them in authority. Something's been a mystery to me about prayer for many years until I learned this, is prayer is largely God telling us what he wants us to pray for and then praying for that. God's in control of everything, and yet he still made mankind, he made you and I, to have authority on the planet. God has to ask us permission to do things. Did you ever think about that? He does. He has to ask our permission to do things Because the gifts and calling of God are without repentance, the Bible says. God gave to humankind this planet. God's never changed that. And before Jesus went back to heaven, he renewed that commission. And he bought back the planet for us, and then he gave it to us. We're going to talk about that. Paul gives us this key in the New Testament. He said, unto whom you yield your members to obey, his servants you become. That's why I said that Adam surrendered the title deed of earth. When they disobeyed God, they rejected God's authority and God's commandment, and they obeyed the devil, they became servants to the devil and all their progeny, which is you and I. And so in Christ we have authority and we have rulership, don't we? We are, and we can be all that God said that we are and all that God says we can be. Jesus called the enemy, Satan, the prince of this world. And the Apostle Paul called Satan the god of this world. Now, we see that in the temptation of Jesus. Remember, Satan came to Jesus and tempted him with three different things, right? And in one of those things, he told Jesus, if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give you all this. He had shown Jesus in the moment of time, Satan had shown Jesus' mind all the kingdoms of the world. Satan said, I'll give you all of that if you'll just worship me just one time. And some people say, well, he couldn't do that. He didn't have the authority. But Satan went on to say, for it has been given unto me. Well, when was it given unto him? Through Adam and Eve. They gave him authority. So dominion was removed from mankind, and curses were pronounced. It said God blessed them when he created them. Now listen, God cursed them because of the sin that had entered. And he does it in order. Genesis 3:14, Satan is cursed because he initiated all this, right? This fall. Jehovah God said to the serpent, because you've done this, cursed are you above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon your belly shall you go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and he, indicating whom? Jesus, right? This is the first prophecy about the coming of Jesus. He shall bruise your head, devil, and you'll bruise his heel. And so Jesus was wounded for our sake, right? But it's true to what he said. Satan's head is bruised in Jesus Christ, and we're going to read about this. All Satan's authority had been taken away. Jesus gave us many reasons for his coming. One of the reasons he said that he came is to destroy the works of the devil. You think Jesus failed in his job? No, he didn't. But he's transferred a lot of it to us, and he's given us strength and power to do that. Genesis 3:16, the woman is cursed. To the woman, God said, I will greatly multiply thy pain and thy conception, and thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. This is complex, and I've talked to several people of authorities in the Greek and the Hebrew languages. And an interesting thing I heard, and I can't preach this for doctrine. It seemed to make a little sense to me at the time. But anyway, he says this comment is to the woman. He said, thy desire shall be to thy husband. And it's not talking about the desire we normally think of in the man and woman relationship, according to my Hebrew scholar. He said that the woman's desire would be to rule her husband. It doesn't say thy desire will be for thy husband. It said thy desire will be to thy husband. And so, the Lord said, and he shall rule over thee. Now, I want you ladies to note something very important here. This business about the men ruling over the women is part of what? The curse. The curse. What does the Bible say? That in Jesus, what happens to all these curses? They're removed. Ladies, do I hear a... All right. And so when people come with all this stuff, if you're not, now there's not a man in this house. I've come to know most of you fairly well. There's not a man in this house that would have the nerve, the audacity, you know, mendacity, to tell his wife, you do what I tell you to do or else I rule over you, right? You guys would not do that. You guys, if you value your safety, you wouldn't do that. So that's part of the curse, and Jesus did away with that. However, it does say in the New Testament, there's a lot of teaching about family authority and the family relationships in the New Testament. And it does say that we're to submit ourselves one to another. Amen? And so that's the way it ought to be. And then God cursed the ground. And unto Adam he said, because you've hearkened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. And then Adam is cursed. And Adam, to Adam God said, in toil shalt thou eat of it from the ground all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. By the sweat of your face shall you eat bread until you return to the ground. Death, okay, was part of the curse. And so toil, hard labor, and so forth. Is part of the curse, and also, of course, death, return to the ground from which we're created. Down through the ages, from this time, thousands of years, God has began to set in motion, he had set in motion, he began to carry out his plan to restore mankind, excuse my yodel, all right, and you folks, country folks, you know how they used to sing, you know? I got that in my throat this morning. All down through the ages, God has began setting in place the restoration of mankind to his original place and his original position. The gifts and calling of God, remember, are without repentance. God never changed what he had intended to do through people on this planet. He never changed. God can't change. He said it. Words that come out of his mouth stand through all eternity. And so God set in place a plan to restore. And so we see in the Old Testament, as we trace the working of God down through the Old Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, all that, God sent kings, he sent judges, he sent deliverers, he sent prophets to teach them and lead them, so forth. And so God had set up different kinds of governments. There was a period of time when God allowed them to do whatever they wanted to do. There's a period of time when God said, you know, each man did that which was right in his own eyes. So they had self-government. They had different kinds of governments that God established. And how did mankind do through all of those? Not too well, right? Always something went wrong. But that was God teaching, delivering, and showing the people, teaching great spiritual lessons to them and to their progeny. And so we have so much of that written in our precious Word of God in the Bible. God sent a very great prophet named Daniel. And Daniel chapter 7 has always been a mystery to me, much of Daniel, and I think to many. But in these last days, God's given, I think, a real opening of the book. Remember, Daniel wrote a book. He wrote it all down and wrote down what God said. And God gave him a book, and God said that it's sealed until the time of the end, when knowledge about spiritual things will increase and all this stuff. And then the books and the revelation of what God really gave Daniel are going to be opened. And so Daniel wrote all these visions down and so forth. And we're not going to talk about the big horns and the little horns and all that stuff this morning. We're going to talk about what God did in restoration, all right, of the human race. Daniel gave us an overview of what was going to come down to all the way down to the end of time. And if you have, probably most of you have good commentaries and so forth at home. And if you look, study the seventh chapter of Daniel, it talks about who these beasts are. They represent men, and the little horns, they represent other men, other leaders, government leaders, and so forth. And so if we know what those mean, we begin to see there was part of the prophecies about Alexander the Great. God, through Daniel, talked about a great man that was going to raise up, and then his kingdom's going to be divided into four pieces. And we found through history that, of course, Alexander the Great had four sons, and the kingdom was split up four different ways, and so forth, in part given to his four sons. And then God talks about other leaders and leaders marrying from other people and bringing together kingdoms and groups. So all that the historians, and I'm not a good church historian, Old Testament historian, but all those things become clear as we read those references. But Daniel's having these visions, and one of the visions that we want to talk about, he said in Daniel 7:13, I beheld until thrones were placed, and one that was the Ancient of Days did sit. His raiment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, and the wheels thereof burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands of thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set and the books were open. Who are we talking about? Who fits that description? God Almighty, right? God Almighty. God Almighty. And so Daniel's seeing this in his vision. He said, I beheld at that time because the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I'm skipping some verses there. He's talking about one of these earthly rulers that's against God. And he's speaking these great words against God. And Daniel said, I beheld even till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and was given to be burned with fire, this earthly leader. And as for the rest of the beast, their dominion was taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. And so there's a group of spiritual people, including the devil, these beasts. God said, I'm going to take away their authority. Everybody said amen, right? I'm going to take away their authority, but I'm going to let them live. Isn't that interesting? I'm going to take away their authority, but I'm going to let them live. And Daniel said, I saw in the night visions, behold, there came with the clouds of heaven one like unto the Son of Man, and he came even to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given to him dominion, hallelujah, and glory and a kingdom, and all the peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion, which now shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. So who's being presented before whom here in the scripture? Who is this? What did Jesus call himself often? How did he refer to himself most of the time in his teaching? Son of Man? Does that sound like a familiar thing? Jesus called himself the Son of Man. Daniel saw him in his vision of what was to come 1,000 years later. I saw in the night vision, behold, there came the clouds of heaven, one like unto the Son of Man. Son of Man. And he was presented before the Ancient of Days, and given authority, dominion, power. He was given a kingdom. And all the nations and languages should serve him, and his dominion is an everlasting dominion which won't be taken away. Don't need to turn there, but in John 12, and we quoted it a couple times, I think. Well, not this morning. But Jesus said in John 12, verses 31 and 32, just before he went to the cross, he told his disciples, those his followers, he said, Satan is cast out. That's what Jesus is going to do when he goes to the cross, resurrect from the dead. And Jesus is lifted up. He now Satan, he said, judgment is come and Satan is cast out. And I, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all nations to me. Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't that sound like Daniel? It does to me. Praise the Lord. The saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom. Who are the saints of the Most High? Any saints here? Come on, any saints here? Amen. Amen. People just walk around, I don't know. I'm just barely going to make it in, I think. I'm just doing the best I can, and, you know, maybe I'll make it. I'm hoping and I'm praying. You know, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. You know, we're saints of God, children of God. Hallelujah. Says the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Daniel 7:18. Glory to God. Daniel 7:21 says, now this is a review. I'm skipping a few verses. And he's had this vision. This is what he's seen. And he asked God about the vision. And so God reiterates some things. And so it's not another time this is going to happen again, but God's reiterating what he just said in explaining the vision to Daniel. Daniel said, I beheld in the same horn, this troublemaker on the earth, made war with the saints and prevailed against them until, what's that? There's going to come a time, right? Until, that's a big until, the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Hallelujah to God. Until, that's a big until. It's kind of like that but in the previous one. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom, possess the kingdom forever and ever. That's a big but. You know that? It is. Okay. And that until is a big until. That until, it's like the children of Israel being in slavery, 2 or 3 million of them. And one day God set them free, go through all the miracles, you know, against the false gods of Egypt. God set them free. And one day they walked across dry land, which before God split the waters was part of the Red Sea. Amen. And so at one time, okay, they're over here and they're in bondage. They're in slavery. They have no help and no hope. And then when they cross over here. And what are they now? By the blood that was put on the doorposts, right? The blood of the Lamb set them free. When John introduced Jesus, what did he introduce him? He said, behold the Lamb of God, right? That taketh away the sins of the world. Our sins are not covered by the blood. Our sins are annihilated by the blood of Jesus Christ. They don't exist anymore. Isn't that good news? Whew. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's like the cross of Jesus. You know, before I come through Jesus Christ, I'm lost. I'm a sinner. I'm under dominion of Satan's heel. All right? I'm being controlled by powers that I hate, and they hate me. And so I'm being dominated by this enemy that Jesus has already defeated. But see, folks, it doesn't work for us until we believe it. Faith is the activating key that takes all that God is and all that God has done for us and activates it and brings it to pass in our life. A verse that I quote so often, I guess it's because God called me to teach, but there's a verse in the Old Testament where God said, my people, he didn't say the people of the world, he said, my people are destroyed for lack of what? Knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We, saints, we have so much that's available to us that we're not gaining, we're not getting, we're not receiving because we're ignorant of what God has said and what God has taught. We need this precious old book, the Bible, and we need to wear out our Bibles. Taka and I had a good friend. She died just a few months ago. And Sarah used to wear out Bibles. We'd go in her house, and she lived alone. She was dying of some kind of a serious disease of the lungs, and the doctor said. But she wouldn't let me pray for her. She wouldn't let anybody pray for her for healing. I don't know why. It's a mystery to me. But anyways, over a period of many, many, many months, she suffered and just kept getting worse and worse and worse where she couldn't breathe. But you go to Sarah's house, and on her dining room table, you find at least three Bibles, all of them severely worn and pages torn and tattered from her rifling through those books. She knew the Word of God. It was amazing. It was amazing. She perished with this disease, and I never understood that. I never understood that. To me, Jesus gave us precious promises that ought to be answered, but that's a few more sermons. We won't do that today. The saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom. When? The question is, when? When do the saints come into all of this? When? There's two clues given, or two definitive statements given, that define the time. Until what? When is this going to happen? All right, the verses we read, until, 1.1, the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. That has to happen. Second statement is, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Amen? In the scriptures that I just quoted from John 12, Jesus said that the enemy was being judged, the enemy's being cast out. And he said that he's going to be raised up. Amen? And all dominion and authority, the Bible says, is going to be given to him from Daniel, right? When Messiah comes, the Son of Man, okay, he's going to receive a kingdom and all dominion, all power, all authority. And I think it's in Matthew chapter 9 or 10, where Jesus said, the Father hath given unto me all authority and all power in the heavens and in the earth. In the same scriptures, he looks at his disciples and he said, I give unto you all authority and power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Saints, we got to let this get a hold of us. What have we become? What has God made us to be? Daniel 7:25 says that he, this false prophet, he shall speak words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Anybody getting worn out around here? You shouldn't be getting worn out. And they shall be given unto his hand until a time, times, and half a time. I'm not going into those times. But the judgment shall be set, and they shall take away his dominion. Who will take away his dominion? Jesus, first of all. Jesus said, I came to destroy the works of the devil, right? And in Book of John, Jesus said that Satan is going to be cast out. Okay, he's talking about right away. He's talking about his crucifixion. Okay? And it said that the enemy's going to wear out the saints, okay, until they be given, they will be given unto his hand, again, until a time and times and half a time, but the judgment shall be set, and they shall take away his dominion. Who's going to take away his dominion? The saints. The saints are going to take away his dominion. Jesus said, I give unto you authority and power. What's greater, authority or power? You see a small traffic cop standing in the middle of a busy intersection, and he holds up his hand, and there's a truck loaded with a big bulldozer roaring down the street at him. He holds up his hand, he blows his whistle, and the truck comes to a screeching halt. What's that? Is that power or authority? It's authority. That's not power. There's no way that little human body is going to stop this humongous truck. That's authority. The truck driver sees the badge. He sees the cap and the uniform. All right? That's authority. And so the truck stops. Jesus said, I've given you all authority and power against all the power of the enemy. Amen? Time for the saints to take over. Hallelujah. Judgment will be said. They, the saints that are being persecuted. We're born, we're left here to persecute the persecutor. You know that? Jesus gave us authority and power over all the power of the enemy. We need to understand that. and the kingdom, the dominion, and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Who is that? Who is that? Who are the people? Who are the people of the saints of the Most High? Any of them here? Praise the Lord. I'm not trying to just get you all emotionally stirred up here. This is the truth of God. This is the truth of God. Okay? So when is this happening? When is this happening? Several scriptures. I'll just go through them quickly. Jesus came, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached. What we're talking about, the kingdom that's going to be established, where Jesus is the king of the kingdom, and he has all dominion, all authority, all power forever and ever and ever and ever, and the saints are going to inherit that. All right, we read about that. Now listen, there's about 124 references in the New Testament about the kingdom of God. I'm not going to read all of them. Amen? And Jesus saw that he answered discreetly. He's talking to a guy. And he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. But he said unto them, I must preach the good tidings of the kingdom of God in other cities also, for therefore was I sent. Jesus said, I came to preach the kingdom of God. And he sent them forth. He's sending out his apostles now, his followers. He sent them forth to preach the kingdom of God. Help me out here. Kingdom of God, and to heal the sick. And he told them, he said, in whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things that are set before you, heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh to you. Okay, here's one of the very key verses here. Luke 12:32. How would you like to do something that would give God great pleasure? That ought to be our goal, right, is to give God pleasure. Amen? What does the word say? Fear not, little flock. Any part of the little flock here this morning? Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. The until says, until the saints receive the kingdom of God. When did the kingdom of God come and give to the saints? I submit to you, this happened 2,000 years ago. It's done. Daniel's prophecy is completed in Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord God forever. Jesus answered and said unto him, he's talking to another person, verily, verily, I say unto you, except one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You have to be born again to see the kingdom of God. Okay? And Jesus said two verses later, John 3:5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, that means it's really important if he says it twice, I say unto thee, except one be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What's the reciprocal of that? He said, unless you do this, you don't get that. Well, what if you do those things? What happens? Do you believe that if we are born again, we can see the kingdom of God? Amen? And if we are born of the water and the Spirit, we can what? Enter the kingdom of God. Because why? It's God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. It gives God pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen? Acts 1:3 says, to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs, appearing to them by the space of 40 days, and speaking the things concerning the kingdom of God. When they believed Philip preaching good tidings concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. What are they doing? They're receiving the kingdom. They're receiving the kingdom. Acts 19:8, there was one that was entering into the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, reasoning and persuading them as to the things concerning the kingdom of God. Colossians 1:13-17 says, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet, that means worthy. God's made us worthy to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. What are the saints inheriting? The kingdom of God. God's made us what? Worthy. Please don't pray and tell God how worthy you are and how awful and filthy and rotten and scandalous you are. Don't do that. God made us worthy to be participants with him in receiving the kingdom of God. Amen. He has delivered us out of the power of darkness. God has taken us out of Satan's kingdom of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, the kingdom of God, in whom we have our redemption and forgiveness of sins. It don't get any better than this. It don't get any better than this. Wherefore, receiving, is that past, present, or future tense? When it was said, it's what? Present tense, right? That happened about 2,000 years ago. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Well, how did Daniel describe this kingdom? Unshakable. It's eternal. It's forever and ever and ever. Amen? This kingdom under the King Jesus, the Messiah that Daniel was talking about coming, this kingdom is eternal and is forever. And Jesus has got all the power and all the authority, and he's given us some of it. Amen? Over the power of the enemy. Hallelujah. Receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace whereby we may offer service well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe. Colossians 2:14 says, having blotted out the bond, curses if you will, blotted out by what? The blood of Jesus, written in ordinances that was against us. God gave all these things that because we weren't participants with him back in the Old Testament, all this stuff that's written in there, we got it, he can't do this, can't do that, can't do this, can't do that, can't wear this kind of cloth or that kind of cloth and all this stuff, all right? He said, he's blotted out all the curses written in ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and hath taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, having spoiled the principalities and the powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them with it. Hallelujah. What is that? Destroying the power of the devil, all right? And Jesus has included us into this magnificent inheritance we have in the precious, wonderful Son of God. We're delivered from curses. We're delivered from the devil. He's been defeated and humiliated before all creation at the cross. He lost. He's been cast out. He's still roaming around out there, and he wants to convince us he's the winner. Remember, God took away his power, but let him live. God wants us, and if I may just kind of do maybe a little holy, sanctified thinking, I pray here. It's kind of like God, you remember when Satan rebelled, it's in Isaiah, when Satan rebelled against the Lord and he uttered his famous five statements, you know, he told God, I'm going to build my throne up above yours, and I'm going to be just like you, and all these threats against God. You remember that? I can imagine that God said, ha, you're not going to go nowhere. I'm taking all your power from you. I'm going to throw you down there on the earth, and I'm going to give billions of people what you tried to take by force. I'm going to make them in my image, in my likeness, and I'm going to give them authority and power over you, and they're going to be able to rule over you because I'm taking your power away from you. Can you imagine a conversation like that? Because that's what he did. That's what he did. Glory to God. Now, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. You receive not the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. When Roy took a bunch of us over to England several years ago, and I was walking, we were going up, that was when we were down going to see the big wall. And we're walking across this big courtyard to the great wall that was still standing there. And I see this Jewish man in his black stuff, regalia and stuff on. And he's got a little boy holding on to his fingers. And the little boy looks up and says, Abba, daddy, papa. And he asked him a question. It was in, of course, their language, and I didn't understand. But I understood the Abba, This is the spirit that's in us. We cry, Papa. Papa. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then we are heirs. Heirs, we inherit. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Not little bitty heirs way down here. We are joint heirs with Christ, who is our elder brother. Amen. If so be we suffer with him, we'll also be glorified with him. Jesus said in John 17, just before he went to the cross, that magnificent high priestly prayer that Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed. Part of that was he prayed for the unity of all of his followers. Amen? No more Baptists, Methodists, Pentecostals, Catholics, all that. Unified in the Spirit and in Christ. Christians. Amen? He prayed for us. And one of the things he said to the Father, Jesus said to the Father, just before he went to the cross, he said, Father, the glory that you've given to me, I have given unto them. Past tense, present tense, future tense, what is it? Have given. Have given. It's ours, right? The Bible says that he hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Saints, that covers everything. Life and godliness, that's all of it. He hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, all right? The earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the revealing of the sons of God. Listen, we think of creation other than human beings as being unintelligent and having no, response to spiritual things. That's the way we think of, the plants and the animals and all that stuff. The Bible says the earnest expectation, creation has an expectation. What is that? Of the creation waiteth for the revealing of the sons of God. What did God curse after when sin came? He cursed the ground. He cursed the creation. Remember that? And the creation now, they know who we are. Okay. We're sons of God. We're members of the kingdom. We've inherited this great magnificent kingdom of God. We're children of God. It's like the creation is saying, you've got your liberty. What about mine? I think that's why Jesus said, that go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The whole creation is waiting until we learn who we are. Amen? Amen. Because they want to be delivered from the bondage of corruption and delivered into the glory of the sons of God. Amen? God knows who we are. The devil knows who we are. The angels know who we are. Creation knows who we are. They're expecting us to do something for them. It's just us ourselves who haven't known, many of us, who we really are. Isn't that the truth? Saints, we are saints of God. We're children of God. We're co-inheritors of all things with Jesus Christ, our Lord. When you were saved, those of you who are saved, when you were saved, you stepped into eternity. You stepped into infinity. You stepped into the enormity that is God. You stepped into the kingdom of God. Yes, I know the Bible says the kingdom's within us. The kingdom can't be perceived, as being a piece of land or a piece of property. The kingdom of God is as big as the universe. It's as big as all his creation. Amen? And we stepped into that when we were saved. The Bible says God has perfected forever all those who are in Christ Jesus. He's already perfected us. I keep wondering, and I've asked the Lord, I don't know how many times I've asked the Lord. It's like a kid in school, you know, and children in school, they always know what grade they're in, right? And the teachers, sometimes they tell the children as they go from grade to grade, what you're going to learn in this grade. And by the time you finish this grade, then you go to the next grade and all this. And you know where you are in your education, right? As Christians, I think so often we lose sight of where we are and who we are in the education of God. Don't you think so? Don't you think so? We're supposed to know who we are. 2 Peter 2, may the grace and peace and the perfect well-being, I'm reading from the Amplified, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, freedom from fear and agitating passions, moral conflicts, be multiplied to you in the full, personal, precise, correct knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. For his divine power has bestowed, past tense, has bestowed upon us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him, Jesus, who called us by and to his own glory and his excellence. By means of these, he, Jesus, has bestowed on us, get this past tense, all of it's past tense, has bestowed on us his precious and exceedingly great promises, that through them you may escape from the moral decay that is in the world because of covetousness and greed, and become sharers of the divine nature. Sharers of the divine nature. These promises are given to us to make us like Jesus our Lord. To make us like him. That's amazing. That's amazing. The Apostle Paul told a group of unbelievers in one of his messages, for in him we live and move and have our being. We live and move and have our being in him. You know, the Lord is just all blended in with all of our mess. You know that? All our fears and foibles and all of our sins and distresses and stuff. And all the way that we work in our life and stuff. God is all mixed in all that stuff. It'd be nice if we could discern what's him and what's us and what's the enemy, right? If we know who we are, then we'll know where all this other stuff's coming from. God is in control to all of us who give him control. Amen? It all comes by faith. Listen, wouldn't you love to have this membership in God's kingdom? Wouldn't you just delight to have this magnificent Jesus that died for us, that shed his blood for us, to annihilate all of our sin and to give us a place in his kingdom and to share with you the power and the glory and the magnificence, all the love and tenderness and kindness, all the peace, all the joy that comes to members of the kingdom. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? You can't see the kingdom of God, okay, until you see Jesus, receive Jesus. You can't enter into the kingdom of God until you receive Jesus. But if you receive Jesus, if you receive, you can enter right in. A daughter, a son of God, having possessed all he died to give us and bring us into this great kingdom. Amen. If you don't know Jesus, let's stand together. If you don't know Jesus, today would be a great day to come and say, I want to be enfolded in this matchless love of Christ. I want to know him. And I want to know God the Father. And I want to walk in his ways. And I want to enjoy and have such peace in my heart that he has given to his children. Amen. Wouldn't you love to have that? Wouldn't you love to have that? Father in heaven, I pray. Lord, we pray with all of our heart, if there's any here today that aren't part of your kingdom, King Jesus. They don't really know you. They don't know what you've made us to be in Jesus. Lord, touch their heart and their mind. Take away every bit of fear, Lord. Because you haven't given us a spirit of fear, but you've given us love and power and a sound mind. So move in the hearts of your people, Jesus, and bring them, Lord, to commit themselves to you today in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.